Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. If you want to start finding a seat, that'd be very helpful so we can start our worship service today. Man, I've just been thinking a lot about the fact that we just get to spend time together and not be persecuted for it. That is just such a beautiful thing that we get to gather together in the open, not hiding, not in a basement in someone's house, but man, we get to worship together. And so let's not take that for granted today when we're doing this. And then another opportunity for us to fellowship together is Sunday, December 8th at 6. We're going to have the annual Christmas dinner. I hear Jamie's bringing bacon, so that's going to be a good thing. There we go, Jamie. But if you want to bring something, go ahead and sign up in the sheets in the back. That's a cool thing. Like I said, December 8th, go ahead and put that in your calendars, our Christmas dinner. And then Andrew and Rebecca talked about the Celebrate Recovery thing, and so we have a set date, January 8th at 7 o'clock, and I'm assuming it's here. I don't know too much about it, but if you want to be involved, right, if you know someone who wants to go, if you want to go, if you want to be a helper or a leader like they were asking you guys to pray about, their numbers are at the bottom of this right here. Andrew said call at after 9. That's when he wants you guys to call after 9 p.m. Yeah. If you have young kids, you know, calling after 9 is not a really good idea sometimes. And then lastly, Cindy gave me this note. Handwriting's my eyes. It says, ladies' tea. She wants to do like a fellowship event for ladies only, right, Cindy? Ladies only. Okay. Next week after church, in here, just going to be a little planning meeting. Just going to be a little meeting to plan it. So if you want to attend the tea, or if you want to help plan the tea, she didn't give me too many details. She was being kind of hush hush with all the secret details because it's for like ladies only. She didn't want a dude to know all the details. But next week after church in here, you're more than welcome to stay here and listen to what Cindy has to say. And then lastly, if you guys want to fill these prayer things out, man, go ahead and fill these out. Our pastor and elders love praying for you guys. They want to know what's going on in your lives. Fill these out, and you can put these in the brown boxes in the back along with your tithes and offerings. And let's get today started. Jesus, God, I just thank you that we've been brought here to you today. God, I thank you that you've given us an opportunity to worship you with our brothers and sisters, God. You've given us people that we're going to spend an eternity in heaven with. God, help us just understand the greatness of that and just help us to understand more and more the depth of your love for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and greet one another.
Good morning, church family. Brother Doug. It's a beautiful day the Lord has made. I'd like to invite everybody to stand.
Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me, and your love never fails. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
hear me. Good morning, everyone. That was kind of dry. My microphone not on, but yeah, I thought I said good morning. I just trying to be happy this morning here, but man, we get to come together. God has been gracious this week, just tremendous. It's been a really difficult week, been pressed down about a lot of things, but that's the graciousness of it, right? I keep talking, we were talking with the elders tonight, in fact, the men this morning, we were talking about this very fact. I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about this morning, but God keeps pushing me in this particular direction, and so I think I'm going to bail on what I was going to do, and I'm going to talk about what I should be talking about. But we had this kind of, you know, we're just pressed down a little bit with certain things in our life. Everybody has this. We're kind of all in the wilderness. We talked about this a little bit last week with the Israelites. You know, God miraculously called us out of the darkness into the marvelous light, and then he led us on dry land through the waters of judgment. He killed all of our enemies, right? But we still got to walk through this wilderness. And this wilderness is not pleasant, but the promise that we have is that he is going to give us rest and that he will never forsake us, that he will never leave us. And so it's a tremendous thing for us. And so I've been thinking about this a lot. This morning we have John Ramey here. If most of you, if you do not know him, he's one of our men that have been called by God to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every tribe, tongue, and nation, literally. Okay, and so we get him back here every few months, and so we are blessed to hear from him this morning. One of the most famous lines from John I can remember over the years is, even by persistence, even the snails made it to the ark. Remember that one? Probably not. But I'm glad he's here, and so I've been thinking about this morning, encouraging the men this morning, encouraging you this morning. I was reading Psalm 63. David, if you don't know the story, he has been anointed king by Samuel, but now he's been run out of Jerusalem. Saul wants to kill him. Basically, he has a shirt on his back, and he's in the middle of the desert. Okay, and he's wondering, hey, what's God's plan for my life? Okay, I mean, you got to remember, this is like 10 years later. Okay? And he says, oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. He says, my soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And I think about that a lot, man, because sometimes it feels like that. It feels like when we're walking in this life, there is no water. David's probably talking about physical water, but he's most assuredly talking about the spiritual water, right? Just being satisfied. And here he is in the wilderness, and he says to us, he says, that I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And he says, because of your loving kindness, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will continue to praise you. And so this is what happens to us, okay? In fact, if you want to know the truth, if you really want to get theologically sound, systematically sound, God actually brings you into the desert on purpose so that you will not only be reliant on him, but also so that you would cling to him only. And so when I think about missions, this is missions in the world. It is a hostile land. It is a dry and weary land. And I know John knows this even more than me. Sometimes you go forever and you never hardly see anything but dry land. You know, just talking about the surface of the world as far as people are concerned. Rio Vista is no different, man. We preach and we minister and we witness. And, man, it seems like just... And so the only thing I can do, and I was encouraging the men this morning, like David, even when we're in this dry and weary land, the only thing we can do is praise God, praise him for his loving kindness. Actually, the word in the Hebrew is the word for long-suffering. Praise him for the long-suffering, because what should he do with the unbelieving world right now, right? He should keep his promise of justice and destroy the world, but he doesn't. And we get to keep going because he wants us to preach the gospel of Christ to every tribe, tongue, and nation. David says in verse 8, and this is what really grabs me, he says, it's your right hand that upholds me, he says, and my soul, it clings to you. My soul clings to you. And so when we can't see the fruit, when we're not quite understanding what God's doing in this world, when we're not quite convinced that our message is going out and that His word is not returning void, right? We know that we can cling to Him, and that's the psalmist, right? We know that we can cling to Him and that we can trust Him and that He is working in the world. And if we just keep being faithful with those things, God will make Himself known. That's the promise. He will make Himself known. Every ear will hear. Isn't that the promise, right? And so we want to be faithful with that this morning as we think about missions, as we think about even the message that John will bring to us, and all just his experiences, period. We could fill up a ton of Sundays with just that. And so something to think about this morning as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You. You are tremendous, because it's not just long-suffering for the world, it's also the long-suffering that You have with us. I think like the Israelites, sometimes when we get out there and we don't see any water, we begin to wonder if You're working in the world. We begin to wonder if You're even leading us. We begin to wonder if You're even there. And so help us this morning, Lord. All the help we can get. Help us with our unbelief, as one man said. That we might follow and love You more. That we might see Your love and kindness. That we might recognize Your glory and power in our lives already. That even though we might literally thirst for water or even be literally thirsting for that relationship with You, that You have already taken care of our greatest need. And so let that be precious to this morning, precious to us this morning as we sing. Gosh, let us get rid of all of those things that would hinder our worship of You. And cause us this morning to cling, cause us this morning to cling the very thing that we desire to do the most. We love You, Jesus. And You are everything to us. And we pray all these things in Your precious and wonderful name. Amen.
Love never fails. never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. Oh, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Oh, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. It's your love. Your love is never failing. Your love. Your love is never ending. Your love. It's your love.
Like I said this morning, we have John Ramey who is visiting us, and I don't know, where did you just come from, John? Not Lodi, but where did you come from in the world? Huh? Calcutta. Okay, I'm not even going to pretend I know where that is. Is that over the, it's over the top of what? India, right? I was going to say over the top of India. And then previous to that, Syria, a little bit, Egypt, maybe. Wherever, all the good places in the world to go to, okay, if you like being scared. And so we have John here this morning, yeah, if you like being terrified about what the world's doing. But John's here with us this morning, and he's going to be bringing to us the word, also hopefully a little bit about where he's going and what he's doing to encourage us that this little tiny church in the middle of nowhere that amounts basically to nothing is reaching across the globe with the gospel of Christ that people might hear. Welcome John Ramey this morning, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I have a few pictures for you. Let's run those up there. So I'll be going in a couple weeks back to Jordan. This is Pastor Hytham. He is, it's like when you're fishing and you get a keeper. So, been doing this a long time, and you kind of know when you meet someone that you want to invest in. And so I've had a deep relationship with him for a long time. When the war in Syria started 8 years ago now, this influx of Syrian refugees into Jordan happened, and he went from pastoring 50 people to now leading a ministry where he has, I don't know, 50 full-time ministers working every day with the refugee population in all sorts of really interesting ways that are benefiting them. So I'll be seeing him soon. Okay, next. I just came from Calcutta. This guy is named John Richard. He's another keeper. I've known him about 5 years. I met him when I was in India doing some training, and he has a tremendous ministry. He's a former Brahmin Hindu priest from the highest class in India. He came to Christ in a remarkable way, and now he leads a great ministry. He's an engineer. He's very smart and very godly, and that's a good combination. The short girl there, I wanted to show you that picture because especially the guys in the Monday night group, I gave you her picture to put in your pocket, remember? Some of you guys remember her. She's the girl that needed the kidney, and we've been praying for her. So this trip, we made sure we had time with her, and she still needs a kidney, but the specialists down there are delaying it as long as possible. She's still on a lot of medications, and keep praying for her. She's doing okay, but I wanted to update you on her. Okay, next. This is what we do on these trips in India and Calcutta is we build them around medical camps. So we take doctors and nurses with us, and we go into areas that have no church, no Christians, and these are also very poor areas, so we give free medical care. And this is very attractive to the people. Most of them never see a doctor, or if they have, they're very worried about the quality of their care. So they come, and we have four stations. They first get their finger pricked for diabetes check. There's a lot of diabetes in India, a lot, scary. And blood pressure taken and interviewed by the nurse. And then they get their, on their slip, their appointment with the doctor. They see a doctor, and then after they see the doctor, they have to go to the gospel room, which means everybody gets prayed for. So we sit with them, and I was telling my wife this time, we've done this several times, and that's my part. I sit in the gospel room and pray for everybody. Everybody gets prayed for. And so I have to have a translator, and I ask some questions. And this time I felt very connected with the people, started asking the kids, what's your dream? And they would just light up at that question, like it was really fun for them to think about their future like that. And I pray for them, ask them about their families. How is your family? What's the situation in your family? How can I pray for you? How's your community? And then after they go to the gospel room, they go to the pharmacy. We brought all these medications, and they get their meds. And then sometimes, depends, we're able to preach to them. So this is one of the gatherings where I got everybody together and preached. Okay, next. Now this.
Okay.
This is.
So this is a building project that we are just starting to host students and also refugees here at Yampton. It is a 20-room building that we are trusting God to provide. And we are starting by faith, trusting Him to provide for everything that is needed. And this is a foundation that we are digging up. These are the pillars for the building. It is 1 meter deep, 1 meter by 80. And this is going to be able to hold a story building. And we see here our resident who are digging. Yobi, Onawite, Amadum, and Belko, working hard. And we got Chuso, and Alpha, Anabedagato, Aziz, Anne, Amadou, Anne, Didier, and Mawalegakatoni, Gasson. These are those that are working here. And we are taking turns, and we are really hoping that by the grace of God, all this building will be erected soon. As now it is November, and the training normally starts in January, and we have got already students who are here studying from areas where we have got challenges with regard to security, and we need to host them. And please pray with us and trust with us our big God to provide for His own work. We have no worries. It will be done by faith. Please accompany us in prayer and whatever God lays in your heart. Thank you, and God bless you. So this is the project that we are aiming to build, 20 rooms. 20 rooms, 10 at the bottom, that on the ground floor, and 10 on the top floor, and 10 on the second floor. Thank you again, and God bless you. Bye.
Okay, that voice is Burima. Burima's story is really cool. Do I have all day? You guys aren't doing anything the rest of the day, are you? If I launch into these stories. So this is Burkina Faso. This is the Jamtan, J-A-M-T-A-N. If you want to look it up online, they have a website. They're also one of our partners. So we've gone from Jordan, Calcutta, now we're in West Africa in a little country called Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso has been in the news last few months because Boko Haram, you know, that the U.S. and other allies have been successful at destabilizing Al-Qaeda and ISIS in the Middle East, but many of their leaders have gone to West Africa. That's where they're hoping to establish their next caliphate. And so Burkina Faso and Mali and Niger, these are three countries we work. They're all facing a lot of tension. And this ministry, you might remember them in prayer. They're maybe the most visible Christian ministry in the whole country. So far, they haven't been targeted, but it's very serious. And God put on my heart in talking to Brema on the phone, we're preparing to do a roundtable on violence, a Christian perspective on the causes and intervention for violence. Did you ever notice, Pastor Sean, in the book of Proverbs, there's a tremendous amount about violence. So I've been working on studying those texts, and right after the first of the year, we're going to gather army leaders and tribal leaders and do a roundtable on violence, give them an opportunity to contribute and prepare, and then I'll do the presentation of the Christian perspective on violence, where it comes from, what to do about it. But anyway, they are building. Some of you helped us years back, maybe 5 years ago. Water is the biggest issue in this part of the world. So we did a big water project, big water tower. Was very successful, and because of that, they're able to expand this training center. Burima is a tremendous man. His father was a Muslim tribal chief, three wives and 26 children. So he's one of 26. But he was born with polio, so he didn't walk. He was 5 years old and still not walking. And his father hired an African a laborer in the village who was a Christian. And when the man met Burima, this little boy who couldn't walk, he said, well, I'd like to pray for you because Jesus Christ can help you walk. So he began praying for him. And it wasn't the kind of prayer like one time and you're good. It was kind of like radiation treatment. You go in again, again, again. Prayer sometimes is like that. But over a process of time, his leg strengthened enough that he could walk. And so because of that, he told his mother that he was a Christian. And his mother said, no, you're not a Christian. You're a Muslim. We're all Muslim. No, the Christian prayed for me. And Jesus made me walk, so I'm a Christian now. And he never swayed from that thought. And he grew up. It's a long story. He's a tremendous leader there, has a great ministry going. He used to go out into the six surrounding nations and train in disciple-making principles. He's a great trainer. But then he told me that he realized when you just go and do remote trainings and gather people, you don't know the character of the people you're training. You don't know if they really understand the gospel. You don't know what their personal lives are like, what their marriages are like, what their moral life is like. So he grew weary of just going in and, you know, meeting people for a couple of weeks. So that's when he got the idea to build Jamtan up. His father, when his father died, he left this huge village area to the family, but the other siblings didn't need it. It was just all desert because they had no water. So he ended up with this like 1,000 acres of desert. But when we did the water project and it worked, now slowly we're building a ministry up. Because he wants to bring people there to live there for 6 months to a year to be trained in disciple-making and then sent out all over West Africa. But he said, that way we get to know the people, right? So, Pastor, that's your method. If you really want to get to know these people, you got to have them move in with you for 6 months. maybe they'll get to know you, though, too. So, anyway, it's a great ministry, and he's going ahead with this project. That's what he's talking about. So that's Jamtan in Burkina Faso. Okay, next. Okay, this is a really cool picture. I just came from Calcutta, and this is going to be the fourth floor on top of the Agape House. This is our ministry partner in Calcutta. Go ahead, next picture. And, we were driving in the streets. It's so interesting. I stopped the car. We had to get a picture of this. Next time you think you have a hard job, these are well diggers. And they're already at 130 meters deep, all done by hand. Four or five guys around it. So don't be complaining about how hard your job is. And they get $5 a day. That's their pay. Okay, next. This is the one of the ministries of Agape House. This is called the Aslan Cottage. So this woman, I could tell you her story, amazing story, but she is now the taking care of these three little boys, and they're the first three. We only have room for three, but on that top floor, that's going to be a bigger orphan house where we're going to be able to bring more kids. Next, try to get to these. This is a picture. I wish I had better pictures from this night. So one night when we were just in India for 12 nights, we had a meeting. This is a meeting that came out of last year's medical camp. It was a church that was born out of that medical camp. And I wish you could see the joy on the faces of these women. It was so powerful to be in this meeting and see how real Christ was to them. We just really thank God for that. Okay, next. This is when they're pouring the concrete on the roof. All done by hand. So they're down three floors. They're mixing it by hand down there, carried up on their heads. Again, $5 a day for the laborers. And pour the floor. And thank God nobody fell. Nobody got injured. I was praying for that. Okay, next one. And this is where I'll be going also in Jordan soon. This is in Azraq. It's a town of about 50,000. It's a Druze. You ever heard of the Druze religion? It's an old religion, similar a little bit to Islam, but not quite. And this is Christine, the girl in the back. She works for us full-time. She's our Middle East director. The man in the middle is a Nigerian pastor that is also working with us now. And this is a school. God has helped us to start four schools for Syrian refugee kids. And that's one of them. And if I launch into the story of that school, I'll have no time for the sermon. Maybe you'd like that. Okay, next. That's back. Yeah, another picture of preaching in where we just were in Calcutta. Okay, next. And the faces of the women there. Thanking God how real the Lord is making himself known to them. Okay, I think that's it. Is that it? This is, again, Pastor John and his wife, Sarah. And a couple of the girls, when I sat with them and said, "What is your dream?" And really a beautiful time with people there. Is that all anymore? Okay, thank you. Let's stand up for a minute. In the name of Jesus Christ, and the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ, and the peace of Christ, for the honor and glory of Christ, we pray to you in peace, Lord Jesus, for there is no judgment to those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us forever free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Holy Spirit, how we thank you for this great promise. And we pray, Lord, that you would empower us now through your word to walk with you and in you for the glory of your name in this part of the world and wherever life may take us. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen. Thank you. I turn your attention for our text to the prophet Hosea. Hosea, it's in the crispy part of your Bible. The pages are still stuck together, probably. Hosea chapter 3. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Hosea chapter 3. Things that God calls his people to are not always easy. God called this man to marry a prostitute because he wanted to symbolize something to his people. So we pick it up here in the third chapter. You got it? Then the Lord said to me, "Go again, love a woman who is beloved by her husband and yet is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love the raisin cakes." So I bought her for myself for 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley, the price of a common slave. And I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the prostitute, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be towards you until you have proved your faithfulness. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or idolatrous pillar, and without ephod or teraphim, household idols. Afterward, the sons of Israel will return in deep repentance and seek the Lord their God and seek from the line of David their king, the King of Kings, the Messiah. And they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness and blessing in the last days. I don't think it's lost on anybody that the message in the church is the grace message. This is what you see on Christian TV and Christian radio, and it's grace, the grace message, the song in our songs and our teachings. But the door to grace is judgment. When a long time ago, when I was in school, there was a man named J. Edwin Orr. He was smart. He had a couple of PhDs from Oxford. And he studied the history of revivals. He studied every revival starting in Acts chapter 2. And what he concluded, said many things about revivals. But he said the dominant factor or the dominant evidence of revival, what's happening in revival, it's like Judgment Day. And the word that I have for you is the end of verse 5. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness and blessing in the last days. So it's like there's a door, and on the other side of that door is God's goodness and blessing and grace, and on this side of the door is judgment. And it's the sense of sin and judgment that brings us to that door. First thing it says after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, remember what it says? It says they were cut to the heart. That means they thought they were going to die. They were so heavy, so convicted. Even though in that sermon, something of the mystery of God is there, because Peter said this man, Jesus Christ, was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But you took him with your hands, your wicked hands. You know wicker furniture? It's not straight, it's twisted. That's the word wickedness in the Bible. All the ways in which we have twisted ourselves away from the structure of the world that God intended and the structure of our life that he intended, what he meant a human being to be, a family to be, a community to be. We're wicked. We've turned. Every one of us. And even though it was all in the plan of God, yes, it was God's will that Jesus Christ suffer with us and suffer for us and suffer as us on the cross. But we're guilty of it. You took him. I took him. And how do you know when this community is going to experience revival when you start to see this spirit of trembling and conviction? So just before I went to India, I worked with a few pastors, like closely. So a pastor from the general area was telling me that he found out, like he didn't know right away, unfortunately, but he found out that one of his youth group leaders, a married woman, in a breakaway session with the girls, the high school girls, was saying, well, look, let's get real. We don't want you to end up pregnant. Get on birth control. You can do this at the school. Just don't tell your parents. So that was at a church that you know of, like a big one. And like, what? That's not the spirit of trembling. Like, that's so far away from it. So, like, it made me think, we've been married 45 years. Wow, crazy. We married when we were 10. Yeah. So, right after we got married, like, our supposed to be our honeymoon, we went to this youth camp. And so every night, I was the preacher every night. And first two nights, it was like really hard because it was a big group, several hundred high school kids. And it was, you know, Christian youth camps, hormones and Jesus. It's just the way it is. And so the meeting was outside at night and kids weren't paying attention. And it was like, you know, don't push the river. Like, I was pushing the river. Every teacher or preacher knows the difference between being in the flow and being carried. And, like, sometimes you're just walking and it's like, you're not getting anywhere. And it was awful. But then on the third night, something happened. I got up to preach, and I had a really good sermon, like, ready. Like, I even to this day, I don't think I ever preached that sermon. It was, like, maybe my best one. I had it ready, and I got up, and I couldn't talk. I don't know if you remember this. I couldn't talk. Like, I couldn't get anything out. And I just stood there. And the longer it went, it started getting quiet in the room. Got really quiet. And then I did say something, and I said, you know, I can't preach tonight. And I don't know why. But I want to tell you something from John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, Jesus Christ raised a man from the dead. But before he did it, he said to the people that were around, take the stone away from the entrance to the grave. And I said, isn't that ironic? If Jesus Christ could raise a man from the dead, he could move a stone. Like, what's that? And then I thought, maybe that's a lesson for us, that there are many things that Jesus Christ can do and wants to do at this camp. But maybe there's things in the way of that that we need to move. And the director of the camp gets up and he says, we're not going to have our evening activity tonight. And, you know, just go back to your rooms. And nobody's like was complaining, oh, you know. Everybody just went back quietly. That was like probably 9 o'clock. So we went to sleep. And like about 1 in the morning, it was this knock on our door. And I went to the door, and here was this teenage girl there, and her makeup was just like all running, all her mascara. She said, "Oh, John, please come to our room. We have to talk to you." Okay, so we went to their room, and here was this like 10 high school girls sitting on the floor. And at that time, I had not seen this verse in Hosea that I just read. It says, it's a promise of God, after these things, there's going to come this repentance that's going to hit. And it's going to be a spirit of trembling. And people are going to come trembling to the goodness of the Lord. And these girls were like so convicted of sin. I sat with them. "Please forgive me on the first night. I wasn't paying attention." But it was like serious. It was like they'd robbed a bank. You know, "I passed a note to somebody. Please forgive me." It was like that. Like so heavy. And then, "Yes, of course I forgive you. Oh, thank you." You know, we prayed. Well, that was happening in every room. The whole camp got hit. And so like I went around to a lot of rooms. And then, this was before mobile phones. It was a long time ago. And they had one payphone. I'll never forget it. There was a line of like 50 kids waiting to wake up their parents in the middle of the night and apologize for things and confess things. Like, "I've been lying to you. You don't really know what's going on. And I got to talk to you." The next story comes from Brazil, and it's in this story that I want to leave you with a prayer, a way to pray for this to happen. So when I travel, I like to ask people questions. I'm interested in people, and how did you come to the Lord, for instance? I met this man. You know, Brazil has these many states, and one of the men I got to know that I stayed with, he was the chief of police for this whole state of Brazil. So he was over like thousands of police officers. And I sat with him at dinner and I said, "Hey, how did you, you know, were you raised in a Christian family?" "No, no." "How did you come to Christ?" He said, "Oh, it's a crazy story." I said, "Whoa, I like crazy stories." He said, "Well, it's because of her, you know, and his wife." I said, "Oh, okay. Well, what's the story?" "Well," he said, "you know, I wasn't a Christian. She was a Christian, but, you know, she wasn't." You know, he looked at her and she said, "Yeah." She said, "You know, I wanted to marry him. I felt he was the man for me, but he wanted to take me to the motel." They have this thing in Brazil where they have hotels and motels. Okay, hotels are like normal tourists. The motels you rent by the hour. You know what I mean? So I knew he wanted to take me to the motel, and I didn't want to do it because I'm a Christian, but I didn't want to lose him. And she says, "I'm like this." She's like, "I'm 17 years old. He's like 25. He's already like a big officer." And so she said that was our life. We were fornicating. I didn't like it, but... And I didn't know what to do with the way I was feeling about it. So we had this church. At my church, we had this old ladies group that prayed. So I told them what I was doing, and I said, "Would you pray for me, and would you pray for my friend, Carlo? You pray for my boyfriend?" "Yes, we'll pray." So they started praying. And this took some time. They're praying. And as they prayed, she told me, they landed on a certain prayer. And here's the prayer. "God, show them the true nature of their sin." Nobody's writing that down, but that is a powerful way to pray. Because we're all deceived. And sin is attractive. And that's why we're drawn to it. because we see one side of it, the attractive side, the side that takes the edge off. Like, why are people in the bars? Well, there's a lot of reasons. That's another sermon. But it takes the edge off. They're attracted. But the true nature of it, that's a whole different animal. And this, as this group of women started praying, Pastor, their prayers took them down to that prayer. Lord, show them the true nature of their sin. Show them the true face, in this case, of sexual sin, of what they're doing. Because they weren't seeing it. Now, meantime, there's another story going on with this girl's family. In this girl's family, there was her uncle, that had extreme social anxiety from the time he was a little boy, probably demonic. But his social anxiety was so extreme that he hadn't been out of the house in 30 years, had not been outside of the house. He's either in the house or in the backyard in Brazil, okay? The government sent some psychiatrists, sent him teachers. He had an education. He's very smart. But they said I never saw him, but they said he looked like Howard Hughes, totally white, big beard, never shaved, social anxiety. And as the boyfriend, Carlo, gets to know the family, it's all a Christian family, gets to know the family, he gets to know the crazy uncle. Okay. And they're always inviting him to church, see, the policeman. No, I'm not going to church. And finally, one day, he put down the challenge and he said, look, he looked right at the crazy uncle and said, hey, when you're ready to go to church, I'll go with you. Ha. And you, it'll never happen, see. So the family starts praying for that. That was like a gauntlet, right? A challenge. You ever get a challenge? And they took it. Okay, we're going to pray for a miracle. We're going to pray for a miracle. That crazy uncle would not only leave the house, but actually go to church one day. So that was going on too. Meantime, you guys with me? Meantime, one day, they're at the motel, the policeman and the girlfriend. They're at the motel. They're in the bed. Everybody's paying attention. I've learned this as a preacher. It's a trick. You talk about sex or money and you got everybody. They're just with you. So anyway, they're in the bed. All of a sudden, she screams. She screams at the top of her voice. He says, what is wrong with you? And she said, don't you see her? She saw an apparition. She saw a vision of it was a spirit, but it was, couldn't see the face. It was just her back, but it was a beautiful shape, like a prostitute, dressed in a red, long red dress, long blonde, beautiful hair. And then when she turned and saw her face, it started out being just a gorgeous, beautiful face, but then it morphed into the face of a beast. And it scared her so much, she screamed. And she ran into the bathroom, and she slammed the door, and she got on her face before the Lord. You know what happened to her from the text? A spirit of trembling. She started repenting. She said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm finished. If I have to give him up, I'm giving him up. I'm never in this again. She thought she was going to die from what she saw. It terrified her so much. She saw the true face of her sin, like those ladies had been praying. Meantime, her boyfriend is in the bed, and he's laughing at her through the bedroom door. He's laughing like, what is wrong with you? You are crazy. There's nobody here. It's just us. And she's saying, don't you see her? Don't you see her? Don't you see her? Oh, my God, we're going to die. She's crying. So she started praying, Lord, let him see her too. And all of a sudden he screams. He screams and he saw her. And the spirit of trembling came on him, answering that prayer, Lord, show them the true nature of their sin. So they go back to the house. They're sitting in the house a couple days later. They're having dinner. Guess what the crazy uncle says? He looks right at Carl and says, hey, how about going to church on Sunday? This is a true story. How about going to church on Sunday? He said, okay, I'll go. And the uncle said, look, if anybody makes fun of me or teases me or says anything to me, I'll never go back again, but I'll go. They both go to church. They both receive the Lord. That's the story. Hallelujah. A spirit of trembling. So Peter's preaching, and it says the result of it was when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the others, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Have you seen that? Have you ever had that in your own life? That kind of trembling. It's what opens the door. Look at the text again. Chapter 3. This great promise. Verse 5. Afterward, the sons of Israel will return in deep repentance and seek the Lord their God and seek from the line of David their king, the King of Kings, the Messiah, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness and blessing in the last days. Last story is from Kashmir, India. So this is just the story of the camp. That was like this happening to a large group of people. And the family, what happened in that family in Brazil. So I went to Kashmir, India a few years ago to see a couple, lead team, missionary team leaders, having a lot of trouble in their marriage, real serious trouble. I didn't want to go. And the reason I didn't want to go, when I examined it later, you guys with me? I didn't want to go later because of my ego. Honestly, it was really bad. Because the mission had already sent like four guys there, and nothing had helped. And this couple was going to have to be removed from the field. But I really didn't think I could help them because I just didn't think I could help them. And I didn't want to not be able to help them because that would look bad on me. Isn't that awful? Okay, I said it's my ego. Forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And he has forgiven me for that. But I went. And sure enough, when I got there, it wasn't good. And the man is smarter than me. He knew the Bible. Everything I would suggest, he had a counter to it. His whole thing was that, you know, she's not submissive, right? If she would just submit to everything, everything would be fine. And aren't you going to back me up, John? Because, you know, the Bible says that. You know, it was like really coming on strong. And like 3 days of that. And I couldn't get through to him. Well, you think you can get through to anybody, right? Huh? You think you can get through to anybody? We need to get through to people, but we can't. It's a miracle. So there I am, and finally the last day. And the way the place was set up was it was this house, and they lived like upstairs. Upstairs was their bedroom and bathroom, and then downstairs there was the kitchen and living room. And I slept on the couch, but it was like totally separate. So I was alone once they went up to bed at night. They'd come down like 8 in the morning and we'd have our breakfast. So it was the last morning. I couldn't sleep well. I'm up early. And I don't always pray on my knees, okay? Not even usually. But for some reason this morning I got on my knees by the couch. And I was all alone. And I started praying, and I don't always cry, but I started crying, and I was just feeling, not only was I feeling inadequate for that situation, but like it represented, Sean, it represented everything I was trying to do. You know what I mean? You ever feel this way? Like, I just wanted to give up. I felt what really needed to happen, I can't make it happen. I just felt this powerlessness. Which is what we're supposed to feel. But we don't like feeling it. But I started crying. I said, Lord, you know. And it was serious because Kashmir, India is a mess. I mean, it's a war zone. It's a conflict zone. Every missionary we send there has conflict with other missionaries. We can count on it 100%. It's part of the spiritual warfare there. But here was a couple, they'd learned how to live there. They'd been there many years, so they knew how to live there, which not everybody can do. And now they're going to have to leave because their marriage is a mess. And this is embarrassing. Like, what are they showing the Kashmiris about marriage? All this stuff is just flowing through my mind. And I am on my knees and I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, I can't help him. I just can't help him. I can't help him. I'm crying. Next thing I know, he's on his knees next to me. I didn't know he had snuck in. He'd come down early. And he heard me praying. I wouldn't have done that. Like, if I knew somebody was in the room, it's like personal. But there he was. On his knees next to me. You know what he said? He said, I haven't been on my knees for 25 years to pray. And it broke him. It just broke him. And that came on him, Sean, a spirit of trembling. And he prayed and he poured out his heart to God. And I told him, now you know what you need to do. I'm not the one you need to talk to. She's upstairs. And an hour later, they came down. I looked at her face, and, you know, she looked radiant. You know, a radiant bride is the bride that knows she's loved. That's how we're supposed to look. Christ loved the church and make us a radiant church, church that knows we're loved, and that's how she looked. And they're still out there. Hallelujah. But the spirit of trembling. So I just give you that. That's my message for you. Grace Point, cool, new name. Grace Point Church of Rio Vista, California. Whatever might happen in the days to come, it's going to be carried forth by prayer. And maybe this prayer, Lord, show people, show us, show our community, show our kids, our teenagers, our adults, our aged people, show them the true nature of their sin, and when they see it, we start seeing repentance and trembling, and that opens the door to the goodness and the grace of God and makes it so powerful in people's lives. May Jesus Christ be praised in all the earth. Let's pray together. Lord, I just feel I can pray for all of us. I don't know a few people here pretty well, but not so well, but I think I can pray for all of us and say, we embrace our powerlessness to bring about in our lives, our families, our community, what really needs to happen. But we don't believe this has been written in your word to torment us by it just remaining a dream, but that this really is your desire and what you want to do in the last days. And so, Lord, we pray for a spirit of intercession. We thank you for that group of women in that church in Brazil that prayed until they found their way to this prayer that unlocked things for this couple and brought them to Christ. Lord, we are yours. We are workers together with you. What an awesome thing this is. Show us our part. And anyone here, Lord, who is being greatly deceived, some cutting themselves to relieve their anxiety, some drinking secretly or openly, some in pornography, some filled with anger, some with greed. Whatever it is, Lord, some with, yeah, you know, nothing is hidden to you. Show us all the true nature of our sin that we might run to you for power over it, because it will sabotage us. It will sabotage our lives. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the life. Hit us, Lord, with this spirit of trembling, that we might all do what those teenagers did, take out of the way things that might be keeping the voice of Christ from being heard to those around us. Is there anyone who would say, I'd like special prayer this morning? Just keep your heads bowed. Anyone feel like you want to ask for special prayer? Thanks. Just raise your hand. Okay. Anybody else? Need special prayer this morning? Yes. So I'm going to ask Pastor Sean, you go in that room over there, Sean. In the room over there in the corner. I don't know what you call it. Huh? Lion? Lion room. Okay. So we're going to stand together and be dismissed. But those of you that raise your hand, anybody else that wants prayer, go over there in that room with Pastor Sean as everybody leaves. Just go over there and receive prayer. And if you didn't raise your hand, you need to go. Please do it. Maybe for yourself, maybe for somebody else. All right, let's stand together. If you want prayer, go to the Lion Room. I'm going to ask my friend Tony, please come and close us in prayer, will you, brother? I saw you up there on that base. Tapping your foot,
trying to keep the beat.
You bet. We have a closing song too, brother.
Oh, if we have a song, please.
Do we want to do that?
Yeah. Close? Okay. Let's do our song.
Your love goes on. to carry us when the world gives way. You cover us, you cover us with your endless grace. Your love is relentless. Your love is relentless. Your love is relentless. Your love is relentless. The time is up for chasing shadows. You gave the world a light to follow. A hope that shines beyond tomorrow. Your love goes on. Your love goes on, yeah. You carry us, you carry us when the world gives way. You cover us, you cover us with your endless grace. Your love is
Sean was talking about how sometimes we feel like we're in the wilderness. And I just want to encourage you guys with this. It says sometimes, it says 2 Corinthians, we are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. And then verse 16 says, do not lose heart, though we are outwardly wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes not what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Go in peace. We love you guys. Also, next week, 9 a.m., new membership class if you want to go. It's not a consecutive series, so if you didn't make it this week, you're more than welcome to go the next 2 weeks. Love you guys. Fellowship. Also, cookies right there.